How's everybody doing today? Good. Well, let's kick this off. How about that? So my name is Chris Wallach. I'm a solutions architect with the Microsoft Enterprise Communications Global Practice. And for those of you who haven't been in one of my sessions already, we might ask, what does the Enterprise Communications Global Practice do at Microsoft? And the interesting thing is I don't sell anything, and I don't support from an operational perspective anything. So what is it that my group does? Our focus is, and our charter, if you will, is to look at technology implementers such as yourselves and ensure the best end user experience possible. So we help you create that first experience in the best manner possible. Because what we found from a consumption perspective is that when that very first use, right, where the brand, they get a brand new desk phone, whether that's a link-enabled phone or they get a headset, the very first time that they use Link, if their experience is less than what they consider optimal, then the seed is planted. And it could not be Link, it could be the network, it could be a variety of different of the usual suspects. We'll talk about that in this session. But if that very first usage, the time that they use that tool, that instance, is not well, then it paints a bad picture moving forward. So we're going to talk today about the on-prem. When you hear the word on-prem or Link server, they're synonymous with one another. And what we're talking about is those Link instances that you build in your organization. You manage them. The servers that are in your data center. So the opposite of that would be online. So you hear on-prem or online. So the agenda for today is we're going to talk about the essential tools for troubleshooting Link, understanding the centralized logging service, and call quality methodology, or CQM. CQM is pretty cool. I thought it was pretty cool. That's just my opinion. We'll see what happens. All right. So essential tools for troubleshooting Link. Let's just spit these out. When you say troubleshooting Link, Link is much like any other enterprise level application in that it has a complex application architecture. But from a troubleshooting perspective, it doesn't matter what the application is. If you always go back to the tried and true OSI model and you start at the bottom and work your way up from a troubleshooting perspective, you'll generally find that you'll get to that point where you'll be able to identify root cause. The reason I say that is that all too often when I interact with customers and one of my peers interacts with customers, we hear a great deal that they go to the usual suspects. And whether it's in an operational context or whether it's in an organization that is going to implement Link, they're worried about the usual suspects. And the usual suspects is always the network. And quite often, it may not be the network. It may be something else. So that would be my advocacy. Don't change the way that you troubleshoot things because it's a real-time communication enterprise application. Adhere to that. You'll start at the bottom of the OSI stack and work your way up. So there's the Link server logging tool that we're going to talk about. We're going to talk about the Link network monitor with Link parsers, Snooper, and the new version of Snooper, and the remote connectivity analyzer tool. So the remote connectivity analyzer tool is for Link Online. That's the Office 365 tool that we're going to use to find out or help us troubleshoot the online instance. So many of you, by show of hands, who's opened up the Link server logging tool? Oh, okay. So who else, the reason I ask that is not necessarily to embarrass anybody or call anybody out, is that this is a fantastic tool. It's a complex tool. Let me say that again. It's a very complex tool. There's a lot of information that you can glean from this tool, and there's a lot of information that you can kind of scratch your head and say, what does that mean from this tool? So this, I could give an entire session just on this tool, how to use it and the output of this tool. The reason we show it here is that this is going to help you in your investigation to try and identify root cause. So the intent of all these tools is to put them in your toolbox so that you have that you can reduce your mean time to recovery, right, through that failure. Just want to make sure. Okay, so I did the warning. Don't spend too much time on this slide. Network monitor and link parsers. So NetMon, right? A lot of people choose or prefer other things other than NetMon, such as Wireshark. It's critical. I don't care what flavor of network capturing tool that you use, but it's critical that you use this in, again, identifying or capturing the network from end to end. You'll hear this quite often. I don't care if it's troubleshooting, conferencing, instant messaging, audio, video, or in specific voice. You want to capture end to end. So if I'm calling you and that fails for whatever reason, as an administrator or as an engineer who's troubleshooting this, I'm going to want to capture my client logs, I'm going to capture his client logs, and I'm going to use the link logging tool to capture that. There's a variety of different tools and of information, but the picture that you're going to want to paint is from his end to my end, the communication going both ways, and then where did that fail? So if you focus on a specific area, as you'll see, like who here has looked at the monitoring reports out of the monitoring server for Link? So one of the things is that if you look at the CDRs, the call detail records, out of Link, it'll say endpoint to endpoint. Well, it's sometimes not endpoint to endpoint. It could be endpoint to gateway, but it calls it an endpoint. So it's important that you identify, again, that picture end to end. Snooper, available in Link 2013 debug tools. So Snooper's been around for a while, OCS days, and it came out of Link 20, it came out of OCS. What was it named back? Yeah, OCS, it wasn't Snooper. Anyway, it was available in the resource kit in 2010. It's in the debug tools now. And the newest version of Snooper is kind of cool from 2013 to 2010, and that it will give you a graphic visualization of the call flow. So it'll give you all your SDPs, and it'll give you your SIP 200s okay back and forth. And that's really, really, I mean, I'm a visual guy, so I think that's really, really advantageous when you're trying to specifically around voice call. Yes, exactly. Explaining it to someone. And that's a very good point. So I'm going to just step out. I never go on script anyway. So the thing about Snooper, though, is that when you get the call, wherever the logs are parsing through the Snooper tool, again, they could be very, very large, and you're going to get a lot of information. The thing that makes Snooper pretty cool, other than the graphic, you know, showing the call flow back and forth, is the fact that you can do searches on specific or any text string. So if you know, for instance, that the 184 or SIP error message 184 is coming in an SDP, you can search for that in Snooper, and it'll pull all the instances out in the call flow for those instances. And that's what becomes really, really useful. So you're going to use Snooper to view the link-ucc-api-0, that log, in a friendly way. And again, this is bread and butter, really, if you're troubleshooting from a Link perspective. This is what it's showing you here is the way to break down the different elements. Again, the logs get very large. And so if you want to only isolate them to a certain frame of time, if you want to isolate them by trace or error messages or info, all of that, is you can do that in the new version of Snooper, where you couldn't in the old version. So the log files, the when you're troubleshooting, first thing is, you know, when the user calls the service desk or initiates the incident, you'll want to grab or have your service desk grab the client logs from whoever's involved. It's first thing, just grab the client logs. Yeah, if they don't, if they don't have client logging turned on, you'll have to, there's ways that you can try and recreate that pathway using CDRs. But yeah, definitely turn client logging on and try and, if it's, so the thing is, everyone in here has been troubleshooting. I'm pretty confident. And it would be really, really cool if, when you're troubleshooting an incident, that you can recreate the incident every single time. Never happens. It's always intermittent. Sometimes it doesn't. And that's really the hard ones. Enable logging on the client as verbose as you possibly can, and then attempt to recreate the issue. Again, this is just showing you more detail with regard to the what Snooper's going to display for you. Come on then. There we go. So where are the client-side logs? Remember I said you want to pull those client-side logs? That's where they are, under tracing. By default, that's where they are. Unless for some reason you've changed the default location.
So for someone who hasn't implemented Link, do you recommend that logging be turned on by default?
Yes.
Or is it by default?
No, it's not by default, and I would say yes. I would encourage that. The thing is, the logs, they're not insignificant in size, but they're not so significant they're going to adversely affect, your drive size. And the value of turning on that logging is huge. Good point.
It's a 24-hour
log on, log off. It's log on, log off. So every time you log on, it creates an instantiates a new log. So in 2010 or earlier, it's in a different spot. And that's important to know as well. So when you're doing your troubleshooting, and you have a mixed environment where you're in a migration, you're going from 2010 to 2013, you'll want to know what clients are involved.
Will this change, you know, the log location change when it comes to Skype business?
I don't believe it is, but I don't know for sure. And then for live meeting, that's where you're going to find your tracing logs. So troubleshooting the edge. So the Microsoft Link Connectivity Analyzer tool, there's the URL you can download it from. It attempts to connect Link server from on-prem to online. And then it's going to run and generate information that's going to tell you with regard to troubleshooting your connectivity. So what it does, it tests for the Link server component, specifically for AutoDiscover service, the authentication broker, the mobility service. This is on the Link side. Mobility service for MCX and UCWA, and then the web ticketing service. So it's reaching out to your Link online and it's gathering that information. And it also generates finds out about publication of DNS records that are necessary for AutoDiscover, certificates, and then proxy servers. So it's going to take all that, get all that information, and bring it in. So the UCC API log search tips for MRAS. Did anyone attend the security session? So MRAS essentially stands for Media Relay Authentication Service. And it's part and parcel to the authentication mechanism for online. So remember the five phases. During sign-on, sign-in, the client is requesting a token from Media Relay Authentication Service. It's going to do a candidate discovery exchange, a connectivity check, and candidate promotion. So the candidate, when it says candidate, what is that? And in a nutshell, you have, now understand this is client talking to servers, right? So we're trying to establish connectivity. What it does is it's a candidate is a pair of information. It's the IP address and the associated, the best port, that's port sets that are possible. It sends that over in a SIP message, that signaling saying, this is what I'm speaking on. And then there's a return message that says, okay, here's my IP address and the ports that I'm speaking on. Those are the candidate pairs. And so it goes back and forth, back and forth, back and forth, where it does a discovery. There's the exchange of information. The connectivity checks. So here's the information I get from you. Can I really talk to you over this? Can I hear you on this? And then so both sides agree and they say, okay, promotion means this is what we're going to communicate on. Does that make sense? I think that's the simplest way I've ever described it, ever. So A equals candidate finds candidate exchange. So remote candidate finds promoted candidates that were used for the call. And this is, when you're looking in your logs, you're going to see this information in the headers. So it's going to tell you this information. I don't know, there's another, if you download the presentation for the securing link, securing the edge, this whole thing will be in there with this, the SIP messages and the SDP response coming back. In-band provisioning without MRAS. So do you, by show of hands, do we understand what in-band provisioning means? Because I'm telling you, 3-4 years ago, I said, what? In-band, what? I don't understand what that means. We just use great names for stuff. Link is interesting because there's two kinds of communication or configurations that occur, right? You've got the client, which is not necessarily whole separately from the user, but you have the client that is configured in such a way and has configuration settings, and then you have the user that lays on top of that some configuration settings. So you and I can both log into this laptop, and the Link client is going to get configured in a certain way, but if I'm from the UK, I'm going to have different settings that I'm going to put on top of that. Does that make sense? So in-band provisioning is the, when the client first comes online, how it's going to get all of its configuration, who it's going to talk to, that takes place as part of that MRAS, that in-band provisioning. So to troubleshoot that, yes, absolutely. Does that make sense? So MRAS credentials, thank you, that was a good point. The MRAS credentials not provided, no connectivity between the front-end servers and the AV edge on the internal interface. So what it's saying is that, you know, if there's MRAS credentials are not being provided, this may be a cause. Wrong AV edge server, FQDN, or firewall. So your port 5062 TCP from the front end to the edge is not communicating properly. Some common things. Stun and turn candidates. So this is when we talk about the candidates, remember we're talking about that communication back and forth. So with there's no connectivity, some possibilities are that there are no connectivity between the client and edge server on port 443 and 3478 UDP. Could be the wrong AV edge server FQDN. Could be, if it's a firewall, it could be that 443 and 3478 UDP for endpoint to endpoint are required so that they're not there. These are just some things to look at. And what you're seeing here are, these are like, I would guess we could call them our usual suspects, right? These are things that pop up quite frequently. Hardware load balancers are dropping or corrupting packets. So again, the advocacy or the guidance around hardware load balancers, it should be for HTTP traffic. But if they're not configured properly and they're dropping or something's going awry with them. Turn candidates internal NATed IP address. So AV edge server is not aware of the external IP address. And this goes back to at the very beginning when I said end-to-end, point-to-point. So if you have an issue and you're going through the edge and you have to troubleshoot your edge, understand each point or each hop in that connectivity from the FE to the edge, from the edge to, so it's whatever's next in that hop. And try and form a mental picture of that, or at least, you know, write it down. It's going to help you understand where the, you know, what's not communicating with what. But also internally, with that last, so I've had actually quite a few customers that, you know, because of their sometimes organizations procure other, you know, they buy a company and they kind of, they do the whole Borg thing and they assimilate all these different companies. And as a result, it's kind of like, when I say federated, I don't mean an IT sense, I mean a more of a organizational sense. They just allow all these entities to come in and maintain their own IT infrastructure. So they have these internal firewalls all over their internal network. And that becomes a troubleshooting nightmare. You know, if I want to send you a text or instant message, and I can't see your presence, or I can't look you up, or I can't see an instant message, or I can't call you, but you're at your desk and I'm at my desk, that, you know, could be something along those lines. So the centralized logging service, or CLS, so the challenge, well, first off, let's say that the centralized logging service is designed to provide a means of a controlled collection of data. That's really, so it's, if, you know, from a broader, narrow scope. Again, the information that you're going to collect in troubleshooting can be immense. And you have to go through all this chaff to try and figure out, okay, what's the error? What's really going on here? So you can collect the data from all the servers in the deployment concurrently, define specific elements to trace, and then set those tracing flags and search results from a single computer or an aggregate of all those devices in the chain. And so the centralized logging service is really helpful in doing that. So the challenge here is it says you have one pool, six front-end servers, and you're investigating intermittent client disconnects. So prior to Link 2013, you would have, you know, the OCS logger. It gets very intent. So, you know, where do I start to analyze? And I kind of, again, I never stick to the script, so I kind of jumped ahead. So, you know, you ask a question, where do I start to analyze? You know, don't go to the usual suspects. Don't say, oh, there's a network segment down, or QoS isn't configured properly, or whatever it is. Oh, what do you think? I think I agree with that because, you know, it's the same thing with the client logging, quite frankly. I mean, if you're always essentially trying to find who done it, and if their logging is not on, and then you're always trying to catch up and say, okay, well, let's reproduce it. But if it's intermittent, you may not. So I agree with you, yeah. I think always on is a good idea. Right. You have more chance of capturing that intermittent in disconnect. So centralized logging service is composed of an agent and a controller. So the agents reside on the front ends. Oops, go back. It runs on every single link server controlled by the CLS controller and manages those log files. It controls the agents, aggregates search results for all agents. So yeah, you know, I'm actually thinking, once you said that, in my mind, I have like several customers in the back of my head thinking, I'm going to go talk about that. The controller aggregates search results from all agents and compiles them. And it's managed through the management shell, the link management shell we were looking at earlier. Correct. Yeah. Good catch. Absolutely. So the centralized logging service scenario-based logging, there are these are chunks of things that, you know, so it's in other words, it's a scenario, and you can select them. So it's logging is based on specific groups of components and log levels to start and stop together. And so they have predefined scenarios that you can choose, and then so you tune that always on. Does that make sense? So the always on scenarios, designed to be always on, logs many common components on an info level, can be run together with other scenarios, and it is not enabled by default. So it's, yeah, that would be a good one to start or enable by default. So and these are some of the things that they'll capture, you know, address book, always on, application sharing, video conferencing issues, CAA, CLSC. So in each one of these, it's a group of different things that are that may occur, right? And so you'll want to, they're scenario based. So like an OCS logger, component logging, logging levels and flags. We're going to get into more of this in a bit. So let's keep this in our mind. The thing that you need to understand is PowerShell is, to say that I prefer, you know, I've been working in PowerShell for so long that I don't work in the UI, and that's just my personal proclivity. It's not to say that, you know, you can't work in the UI. Maybe it comes back from my old CMD days or DOS days that it just was easier for me to aggregate data or select data. And PowerShell is just completely made for that. Anyway, you can create and sort within PowerShell based on the levels or flags, based on the events themselves. There's a variety of different things you can do in PowerShell. So I would, if you're not comfortable with PowerShell, I would suggest either taking a class or you know, some online studying. It's definitely worth your while. So changing and adding scenario, as you can see, so custom scenarios can be created if needed, and existing scenarios can be updated and changed. And so we're going to go for depth about this in just in a few slides, but we wanted to bear out that you could run these commands to customize the scenarios or change or update a scenario, but it's all done through PowerShell. So controlling centralized logging, so turning on logging, turning off logging, or managing the CLS is, again, it's done through PowerShell. And I don't want to underestimate, I'm probably saying PowerShell a lot. I cannot understate what I consider the importance of PowerShell and the powerful tool it is in enabling you to troubleshoot and actually look forward, not just troubleshooting, but also if you're going to get into any kind of capacity management. So it's a huge benefit, and we'll, and it's really, like I said, I'm not a programmer by any stretch of the imagination. You know, my deepest background goes back to Transact SQL. But PowerShell, you know, I say you can toast bread and make coffee in the morning with PowerShell. All right. And which is true throughout, I mean, if you want to get outside of the CLS component or outside of the troubleshooting, logging, it is always true that you can do more in PowerShell than you can do in the UI. Remember, the UI is based solely on that 80 or 90% of all the functionality that you're going to do within Link. But if you're going to do like RGS queues to, you know, IVRs down more than three levels or any customization, you can do everything in Link in PowerShell. The reverse is not true for the UI. So searching in CLS is again accomplished by the log files and doing so, pulling them through PowerShell. So you get a full dump of all the log files by search CS CLS logging. And then you have to give it an output file path. And then you can filter those log files by that next set of commandlets. So in memory versus on disk, logging data and stored in memory is periodically written to disk. So this is within the shell itself. When you run these commands within PowerShell, it keeps that information in memory, unless you so otherwise choose. If you're going to write, like for instance, if you put an output path, it's going to create that text file and it's going to commit that to disk. But generally, sorry, if you don't have an output file path or any kind of output to disk, it's going to keep it in memory. And then when you close that Windows or when you close that shell, that goes away. So it's important to remember. So we're going to switch a little bit. We're going to talk about call quality methodology, or CQM. And this is actually pretty exciting. I'm sorry again. So do you remember your first link call when you had this wow, right? And you know, the wideband audio was a really great moment. I don't know if you had that. For me, okay, I'm going to digress a little bit. By show of hands, who understands what the term MOS, M-O-S, stands for? With regard, okay. So really what MOS has to do with is the idea that when a person picks up a telephone, talks on that telephone, it's the subjective quality of that call. The reason I say subjective is because it's usually an algorithm that's calculating a lot of different stuff in the background that gives it a numeric value. Does that make sense? So for years and years and years, PBX has had a MOS score of 4 was considered standard. And that's what our parents would say would be dial tone, right? When they pick up the rotary dial, they are, then they make a phone call and they talk. Generally, it should have been a 4. So that means, you know, crystal clear audio quality. Now, when we move into VoIP and when we move into Link as a method of transmitting voice over data, we have the same kind of thing, right? So there's an expectation of that end user, right, the service consumer who picks up his Link phone or puts on their headset, and they talk. And when Enterprise Voice was created back in OCS days, LCS, but OCS days, Microsoft questioned, what is the expectation of the average consumer for voice? And because the industry was saying telephony voice has a MOS score of 4, that's the standard, right? Not true. And what was interesting that we found, the reasons that's not true is because of these. So if you would have asked that question 25 years ago, yeah, it would have been true. But people with cell phones have become used to poor call quality. Used to, would you say? Used to digitizing, jitter, airdropping every packet. And it's become so day-to-day that no one complains about it anymore. They just accept it. So the expectation of voice quality has come down. And so the expectation in a business context is, can you and I speak in a way, and you understand what I'm saying, and I understand what you're saying, and that's we're accomplishing that business task. Maybe not the greatest in the world, could be radio-like, could be tinny, you know, could be dropping packets, but if you get my intent, are you going to complain about it? Probably not. As long as you understand what I'm trying to tell you and vice versa. Now, contrast that to, say, a boardroom where audio quality is should be very, very high. There's certain instances where use cases where it should be high. But anyway, I say all that so that when you go into looking at call quality with CQM, it's a way to ensure that the business objectives are being met, right? So we want to say it's a way to ensure good call quality. And yes, your intent is to always have the best call quality possible, but that, what is best? That's what I'm getting at, is, you know, how do we define best? And best is defined by your organization. So, the call quality problem. CQM is an analysis over time. What it's doing is it's gathering information about the calls that are being placed, and it's going to give you buckets, and it's going to report on what are some of the issues that you're having. So what we've seen in CQM that we've done for customers is that our customers' biggest struggle to maintain call quality as they scale up. You have, you know, you start with your pilot, you put all your infrastructure in, you enable enterprise voice, so 500 users, and after your pilot, everything's great, 500 users, no complaints, everything's okay. A year and a half later, you went from 500 users to 5,000 users. And now, you have users that are complaining about poor call quality. Well, why is that? Because there's a capacity thing that needs to occur. There's a capacity planning mechanism that needs to be put in place to scale out to accommodate for those users. So you see that server-to-server poor stream average, the target is 2%. And this particular, you know, after 5 months was 1%. After 5 months, the mediation to PSTN poor stream average was 0.3. So that's fine. You know, so server uptime targets 93 nines, and server uptime is 3 nines after 5 months. Everything seems fine, right? So it's managed and recommended. We're going to get to after 5 months here in a bit. But the thing that you have to understand is that when you're planning for your Link Enterprise Voice or your Link infrastructure, doesn't matter what workload you're turning on, plan for every project or every plan, every design has a life cycle. And that life cycle is dependent upon your organization. Some organizations have a traditional 18-month cycle. So the capacity planning for that project would be 18 months. What is our user base going to be in 18 months? What's our call capacity going to be in 18 months from now? And that's what you build to. Some have 3 years. And that has changed quite a bit over the last 5 to 7 years based on the economy and the fact that people used to, I should say organizations, used to rev every 3 years or 18 months. Now sometimes it's 5 years because they're trying to go past that amortization date and get more bang for the buck. So, absolutely. Yes, that's absolutely true. And I would say you know, QoS is part of your network. Could be that it's not your network because the QoS was implemented. However, you don't trust client-side tagging. Or QoS was implemented except for in this particular segment. And that happened at Microsoft with Link 2010. That, you know, as we scaled out, it was what, 2011, 2010? As we scaled out, there were users in Ithaca, New York, and up in Maine, and some in Lower Canada, that some of their calls were just getting turfed, and some couldn't be made. And that became a CVE, internal, we were dog food. And they were saying, what's going on? So there was this massive team over in Building 3, and everybody was, you know, hair on fire. We were running around, what's going on, what's going on? We looked at QoS, and we said, no, QoS is set. You know, then we did the network analysis and found out that the segment in Quincy was not set to the proper tagging. It wasn't configured properly. So I guess that would be a network issue because it would be a network device you'd have to change the configuration on. But that's going to your point, is that usual suspects, not usual suspects, understand your capacity requirements and understand the end-to-end. So why is call quality hard to achieve? I just went all off script and jumped into this earlier. There's Link Enterprise Voice is not easy. It's not simple. It's complex, and do I want to say it's hard? It could be difficult, right? This is a technology that is enabling real-time communications, and the design of which needs to be well thought out and very thoughtfully, or I would say the consideration around the different elements and how you're going to egress your calling. So there's a complex set of dependencies from the endpoint to access point to the core network to the server. Degradation in any aspect of the lower quality of the entire caller conference. So what does that all mean? Weakest link in the chain is what you need to focus on. You could have the best network connectivity. You could have completely over from a capacity perspective, you have completely gone over the hill with regard to your front end pools. 10 front ends in every single pool, massive SQL back end infrastructure. You just completely throw mediation server pools, complete redundancy, five nines, I mean, throw millions and millions of dollars at this stuff. And then you have a user in Iceland. There's this remote office in Iceland that is outside of the scrutiny of your planning process, and through the through your migration, you deploy devices there, and all of a sudden, they're not getting the quality of service. It's the lowest common denominator, I guess is what I'm trying to say. You can, when you're planning, and this is one of the exercises that I'll do when I talk to customers about nines, right? And that's a fantastic conversation to have. I can't tell you how many customers I say, when I speak to resiliency or business continuity with you, do you want three nines or four nines? No, five nines. We have to have five nines. Okay, so you're really not talking about disaster recovery. You're talking about business continuity. And then we go into the exercise of planning four or five nines, and the exponential cost curve that occurs going to that five nines, and they're whoa. Now that becomes exponentially too expensive. So then we say, well, five nines is like what, 5 minutes in a year? So is it reasonable? No. So that's why I say, let's look at the business and look what the business necessity or the business needs are and let them drive the technical, right? So that gets into this, is that understand the business need. Who are the service consumers? Where are they consuming from? And plan accordingly. And that's really what the slide is attempting to get at, is that call quality, why is call quality hard to achieve? You have to, because from systems guys, we go from the enterprise down or out. Telephony guys come at it from a completely different perspective, because for their entire career, they've always focused on the end user, because it's a phone on a desk that's plugged into a wall. They don't care about people. They care about the phone. And so they're coming at it from a completely different perspective. So our existing tools, we have a rich set of data and tools and products that that troubleshoot these issues. What we lack, quite frankly, is that systemic operational approach to proactively view and improve call quality. It should be lacked, past tense. That's what CQM is today. CQM is that ability that we can use to operationally, proactively look at your organization, run CQM, let it run, gather that information, and then we can say, okay, this is how we can improve your manageability. This is how we can improve your capacity planning moving forward. So comparing CQM and a monitoring report. Did I ask that question here? No, I asked in the last class. Who looked at the monitoring reports? Did I ever ask that question? Okay, so show of hands, who has looked at the monitoring reports on the Link monitoring server? Okay, then that's fine. I would encourage you, if you have Link in your organization, go into those Link monitoring reports, because I have a confession. When Link 2010 was in beta, it was wave 14, and I was looking at, I had to do some troubleshooting with, you look at these CDRs, I lost myself for like a month. I mean, so the monitoring server, as it as basic as it is, you know, a lot of people are saying it needs to be more in depth, it needs to be deeper, it needs to give us more information. And I'll agree that if, you know, to do CQM is the answer to that. Absolutely. But in 2010, I went down a rabbit hole and was gone in Wonderland for months and months because I wanted to find out, well, you if jitter or latency on this call is flagged as red, why? What's the parameters? Why is it red? And you know what made it red? So I don't want to discount the default. I guess where I'm going with this is I don't want to discount the default monitoring reports. A lot of people are kind of, oh, well, yeah, they're not enough. And agreed. And if you're doing some serious capacity planning, management, or troubleshooting, they may not be enough. Because you're going to want to, you know, again, get all of your tools together, your toolbox. We're going to go over the logs and that kind of thing. But from a comparison perspective, from CQM to the monitoring report, so classified poor call media line table in 2013, it looks at the degradation average. So what you're seeing here, where it says QE, CQM, remember I said I looked at the CDRs and I wanted to find out, why is this red? Why is jitter red? Why is latency red? Yes, sir.
How reliant is Link on the PBX you're using, external systems, that say somebody's on a cell phone and, you know, overseas, and then they call in and terminates or, you know, connects into your PBX and then they maybe SIP trunk into the Link conference. Is it possible that Link is going to show that, hey, things look good from as far as I can see, but the issue is kind of further upstream? Or is it going to track that once it, you know, kind of almost to the end?
So I'm going to say the question back to you to make sure that I get it correctly. So what you're asking is, the regardless of whether it's CQM or the default monitoring, does Link have the capacity to truly go end-to-end or point-to-point? So if I'm calling on my cell phone into a conference, will it know or does it have the ability to get performance information from my cell phone to the carrier in? Is that what you're asking?
Pretty much.
Yeah, no, it doesn't. So that's a great question, though. What, and that's because we need to call out the point when, and I've said this a few times, is that end-to-end, point-to-point, right? We're trying to troubleshoot that. When you look at the monitoring report, that's a very good question. When you look at the monitoring reports, or if you look at the CQM reports, it's going to tell you endpoint to endpoint. Sometimes the endpoints are my laptop, because I'm in the office. And the other endpoint could be the SBC or the gateway that the mediation server is handing off to, right? But there's a huge part of that leg, that call leg, that's not there. And that's from my cell phone through the carrier to whether the SBC or the trunk. Does that make sense? There's a lot of partners that are out there that have that. Yeah. Right. Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. Did that answer your question?
Yeah. We've got users that have a number of complaints about Link, and we're going to go to a meeting tomorrow. We're going to monitor, and I'm getting our telco people involved too, because I don't know how much Link is going to be able to see.
So there's good news. So, and that's that. You're not alone in that boat. You're absolutely not alone. In fact, every person, every organization that the reason I'm giving you this is there's partners that are very, very good at doing exactly what you're looking for, is that in that next leg, and it could be your carrier. The carriers are also aware of that last leg component, and they report that as a service. So they'll charge you for the service. But sometimes that service is very valuable. In addition to that, the carrier, as a partner with Microsoft, can then give you that end-to-end leg. There are also partners that are, and I can give you names of partners, Microsoft partners that have put together that end-to-end quality, so they, that last leg kind of thing. They have analyses. They'll pull your SQL database for your CDRs, and they'll use their own engine to extrapolate out. So, I'm not advocating for any particular partner. I want your experience to be good. To get you to a point where I want your experience is good, I want you to get the support that you need, whether that's from Microsoft or your carrier, to ensure that the users in that conference all have a good experience. And that's me. That's where I come from. Thank you for that, though. So did you all understand that component? If you are rolling out Enterprise Voice and you're looking to, you want to really get an end-to-end, that last leg, send me an email, and I'll be more than happy to give the same information. So, but I think this is a good point. Mm-hmm. Yeah. You can control what you can control. And the reason I say that, very short story, I was working with a health insurance company a while back, and they were doing problem management around the CIO received an email while she was on a phone with a peer of hers that was on the East Coast, and her peer said, "I just sent you this email with an attachment," and it took 4 minutes 38 seconds for that email to get to her mailbox, the CIO for this organization that I was working for. So that didn't become an incident, that became a problem. We went to problem management. It was a SEV 8. I mean, it really shouldn't have been, but the whole point being, as the designer of that service, I was brought into problem management. So the engineers were quickly trying to resolve root cause. There was no root cause with it. So it was going back and forth, and I was silent. And the engineer turned to me and he said, "Could you provide some input?" And I said, "We can control what we can control with the budget that we have. If you want to give more money, we can extend our ability into the internet. But we cannot extend what we can control into the ether or other people's exchange." So I say that as a story to illustrate the fact that, know what you have the ability to control and manage, and accept what you can't, and mitigate, I should say, for what you can't. If your carrier is giving you bad service, maybe it's time to get a different carrier. Now, did you want to talk? I think this is a good time to talk about wrap as a service. So there's the whole idea of we go through a project, we implement Link, and Link is in operation, right? So there's health checks that Premier Services will do to say, here's the state of your health of Exchange or Link or Active Directory or what have you. There's also what we call wrap as a service. Do you want to?
Time with you, like 8 hours for that whole day. that. I normally recommend if you, once you have it, you have it for the entire year. If you want to do one in the beginning and get then and get an assessment of your environment in the beginning, and then you can have a tool for the rest, and you can run it multiple times. But that first time you run it, definitely get it with an accredited engineer so they can review that data with you. And then once you understand it all, you can continue to run it as many times as you want throughout the rest of the year.
Yeah, thank you for that. So the reason, has anyone had you? On the wrap. So it's risk assessment, and it's, I think it's kind of a bad name because, yeah, I guess it would. So what it's doing is it's looking at all the health indicators that wouldn't make Link run well. It's not just will it run; it's will it run well, and it's not just Link. It looks at Active Directory. It looks at the servers themselves. It looks at patch levels, and the amalgamation of all that, it gets squashed into this report that's green, yellow, red. And green is, yeah, you're good to go. Yellow is these servers need to be patched. They're not the right patch level. Red is hold the train. You need to fix this right now or it's going to cause you problems. So it's a very valuable service.
It's like BPA on steroids.
Yeah. Well, BPA is an input to it.
Yeah, it is an input to it, but it gives you a lot more.
Are you familiar with BPA? Best Practices Analyzer? All right. So classified poor, what we're looking at here is that CQM as opposed to quality of QoE. So QoE is quality of experience. Remember I was talking about MOS scores? That subjective algorithm that goes out and says, so every time you make a call and a CDR is generated, there's a MOS score associated to that call. And they are aggregated to a point where you can look at like an entire period of time or you look at a particular section. So, and these are, remember, so what's green, red, or yellow? Here's how they decide. So in CQM, if the packet loss rate is greater than 0.01 of packet loss rate maximum, then it's going to flag it, something that's not right. That makes sense. So again, when I said this isn't easy and it's complex, it is complex, but it's not insurmountable. It's just getting into that and analyzing it, understanding what this means, and then mitigating that risk or as you move forward to plan for it. CQM amplifies results to spot problems. So what it does is it looks, you know, based on your current trending, where will you be at a certain time? You know, what were you going to, where are you going to be? So we see the difference between CQM and QoE is that the blue line for poor streams on the right side says, oh, I think everything will be all right. But CQM classifies it in a different way because it's aggregating over time. And it says you may have an issue. So on the left, we have streams. I got to stay on script every once in a while. So we're looking at stuff in the data center, looking at that last mile, right? So when I say last mile, I mean internally the last mile we can see from the data center to the client, wherever that client is at, so to speak. CQM looks at quality three different ways, server, network, and endpoints. And again, that's that end-to-end. The first, you know, if your servers aren't healthy, it's going to have an adverse impact on the call quality. It's just that simple. If your media stream, if the network itself is not healthy, so we have network assessments that we do that are UC-specific, universal communications. I said universal communications. Why did I say universal? Because it's not just voice that's impacting your network. It's all real-time communications. That's a whole nother session. But the idea for the network is you can have all the bandwidth in the world, but if you have something that's misfiring on the back end and dropping packets all over the floor, it's going to have an adverse effect on your call quality. And the endpoints. Endpoint factoring. So out of these three, by show of hands, who thinks servers would be the most impactful? Who thinks that network would be the most impactful? You guys seen this one? Okay. Who thinks endpoints would be most impactful? Okay. In my experience, endpoints are most impactful to call quality. Because what we found is that when organizations deploy enterprise voice and they go out, they talk about users and the whole migration process, it's the last mile, right? It's going to that office and it's giving that CSR or that HR person training sessions on, we're taking your PBX phone away. We're taking your Nortel phone away. This is how you're going to make voice calls. And you would be surprised. I've had people yell into their laptop and say, this is the worst thing ever. I can't hear you for nothing. And there's a headset sitting right there. They can wear the headset. Nobody told them to plug it in and use it. It could be that simple. So, we laugh, but again, it gets to that planting that seed for end user, right? That first usage. So endpoints are incredibly impactful. Another short story about endpoints. When OCS 2007, when we were running in Microsoft OCS 2007, I would get these nasty grams saying, you're not using an approved device. You're not using an approved device. I'm like, what? I'm on the Link team, or I'm on the OCS team. What are you talking about? I'm not using an approved device. The headset that I had bad drivers. And so that was being carried forward. All of that came into a different program. But what it's saying is that my calls were being flagged on the CDRs as low MOS scores. And there was an automated process in the back end where they were saying, why? Well, because the headset is generic. It's not the proper driver it was a Microsoft Live Chat, I think, at the time. But yeah. So now the client, you can check your call quality. And so there's a lot of, and all of that goes into the training of your end users. If you're having a bad experience, don't accept it. Report it. And as you're moving towards and rolling out enterprise voice, provide a feedback mechanism. Because I guarantee you want to know right now when your end users are experiencing a problem. Because if you don't want to hear it or you just let it fester, it's going to get, it's going to be that rip the wound off and, it's going to be really nasty. So servers, key health indicators. CQM has almost 8,000 counters which account for all different elements of the servers themselves. So the question is, okay, which ones are pertinent, which ones are healthy? Not healthy, which ones are pertinent to you? So, and that's really important. So there's 80 key health indicators out of those 8,000 that CQM are going to report to. And this spreadsheet provides a snapshot for a given collection period. And you can see, just like at the wrap, it's red, green, yellow. So you can quickly, focus on what are the problem children. How can we fix this?
I recommend if you're a Link administrator to have those ready to go on all your servers. It's provided in the networking guide. So you have it from the edge server.
Absolutely. Yeah, I agree. Because this is going to help you from the start. So network coverage, the quality of experience database provides telemetry across the network. Now, we're going to get into that last leg, and I got to come out here. If I had a red pointer, I'd red point it. So site, data center, internet, right? We've got inside our intranet, or inside, we have the edge or perimeter, and then we have the cloud, the internet. All of these different legs, from the user that's at their home office talking to the user that's at the site, have an impact on whether it's a conference, whether it's a voice call. So I initiate a voice call with you. I'm at Starbucks. You're in the office. My little indicator on my Link client says, I've got 4 bars, I'm good. It's okay, call quality. But we're working on a diagram, and you're just not, I'm trying to advocate for something. You're like, no, dude, you're smoke in it. I don't know what you're talking about. So then I share that my second desktop so that you can see that we can collaborate on that diagram. All of a sudden, those four bands go, and now this red, the call quality just degrades. And then every single other, it gets tinny, and then sometimes it gets really, really fast because it's trying to correct itself. So the whole point here, and I'm totally jumping ahead, is this QE database, again, is point to point, not end to end, all right? And we need to understand it provides telemetry across the network, but not the entire, not outside your network, right? So the AV MCU to mediation servers part here, AV MCU to mediation there. Mediation to gateway. These are elements of the network components that it's going to look at. And then the wired and wireless. So these are just different elements. So endpoint coverage, again, device, system, media path, transport. These are elements that CQM are going to take into consideration and give you good, actionable feedback on what you should do. What is the MOS associated with endpoint one, endpoint zero? You know, from a system perspective, how is that handling, you know, endpoint one glitch, media path, transport? All of these things have a different, and we're talking from my laptop. Could be my client is fine, my laptop has bad drivers. VPN is another thing. If your VPN is not set up correctly, or you don't have dual tunneling, there's a variety of different ways that VPN will adversely affect. If you're forcing voice to go over through that tunnel, it could have an adverse effect if you don't plan for it. If you plan for it, you should be good. So the CQM tenets, or rules to live by, structured, managed, and service. So end to end, inside and out. And really what we're saying here is that you want to plan for, manage, and operate end-to-end, right? That was what I was saying earlier. You want to plan and manage for inside out. So your core infrastructure data center to your internal callers, then to the endpoints that you have the ability to, you have management value over. Your networks are managed or unmanaged. In other words, are they something that's you have a service provider providing for you? You could be consuming link from a service provider in a managed service capacity, that kind of thing. And then operations, process, tools, and user experience for the service that you're providing. Things to take into consideration when you're looking for call quality. So CQM is about handling the call quality. Calls are there. It's not about making sure that they work. It's making sure that they work well. And this is the information that you're going to get from CQM. So QoE considerations, it's almost all in QoE. So best practices, single instance per deployment. You want to be aware of coexistence challenges for Link 2010 and Link 2013 around QoE metrics. Because remember I said, how are we defining what means a yellow jitter rate or a yellow latency rate? They're different from 2010 and 2013. Why are they different? Because we've learned, and again, I didn't say it was objective, it was subjective. The algorithms that are used to assess that MOS score have changed because they're subjective. So the main difference is that, so I guess our guidance is to just have a single QoE database per link version, so one for 2010, one for 2013, and that'll keep you standard. And then the thing to note here is that the different database schemas for 2013, you'll find the IP around that on TechNet, and then 2010. So if you really wanted to know what are the differences between the two, those URLs I just showed you will tell you. So process for working with CQM. So how am I doing for time? We got 5 minutes? Wow, okay. I always go off script. Process for working with CQM. Baseline, prioritize, remediate, maintain. So, and this is the idea of call quality management is not something that you're going to do one time and forget about. It's an ongoing activity that you're going to strive for, right? You're going to use it to manage quality for the what they call in perpetuity, right? So for the length of time that you're using Link or Skype for Business, as when it comes out, you're going to use CQM to do these things. You're going to baseline, so you're going to run trending queries for 2-week range. You're going to prioritize using server health, server to server, wired subnets and devices. You're going to remediate those red and yellow things, right? Start with the big ones, knock them out of the park, and then work your way down through yellow. And then maintain. Once you get to a functional state where you may have a yellow pop-up every once in a while, right? So you're going to design and plan for the 95% and then manage risk around the other 5%. So that's the operationalizing of your CQM. You get it to a functional state where you can reasonably say 95 to 99% of your calls are going to be okay. There may be something that will happen because we can't boil the ocean and make everything perfect. But you want to do the best that you can. And that's around the operationalizing the maintenance. So some customer examples. So trending indicates that the most prominent issues is the mediation server to gateway. We've started here and did a drill down of the plant 2 mediation gateway query. And really what this is showing you is that is the connectivity from the mediation server. And this is in the slides. So as we're coming down through this, there's a lot of information here. And the scenario that's around it, really what they want you to get out of it is that in this instance, there was an issue between the mediation servers and the gateways. There's a misconfiguration issue. So the methodology, key takeaways. Download the complete networking guide today. Well, not today, but I would download the complete networking guide. It's a great piece of work. It really is. It's not one of these 500-page documents that say thou shalt and thou shalt nots, but it has a lot of salient value in it from an informational perspective. It'll help you a lot. So ensure the monitoring covers server key health indicators. So key health indicators are defined as, jitter, latency, that kind of thing around. And they'll talk about that in the networking guide. CQM does not replace System Center Operations Manager. Monitoring server reports or Premier Support does not replace. It could be an adjunct to Premier Support, monitoring server reports, or System Center Operations Manager. If you're having an issue with your Link instance today, or if you have an issue as you're rolling forward, I want to encourage you to reach out to your TAM and ask about Premier Service. Ask, what can Microsoft do to help me help myself? Because that is primarily what Premier Services does. They come to your organization, they're brilliant, they're experts at what they do, and they'll able to very quickly say, they're not going to, so this is not my house is dirty, right? They're going to come in, and before they come in, I'm going to do the dirty house dance and quickly try and sweep everything under the rug so when they come here, everything's going to look great. They're not going to come there and say, your house is dirty. What they're going to do is say, you have an oil leak in your car, using a different analogy. Here's how we can fix that in the best way possible together, right? It make some infrastructure, it may mean some configuration change. But the best way to determine that is, again, through the Premier Support, through the way of RAP, or the, I should say, RAP as a service, or the health checks. Huge value. And here's the resources. I did it. Came in right in time. So the links are, this, again, download this. It's like, no, you're not. No. So download the resources page. Go to TechNet, and I'm going to say the same thing I said in all the other presentations that I've done. If you have a question and you're not finding it on TechNet, you're not finding it in the resources here, send me an email. I'm not telling you that I know everything. I'm telling you exactly the opposite, that I don't know everything. But Microsoft is very open and encourages us to reach out to our peers. And we have a really good mechanism internally. But if I can't answer your question, I'm going to find someone who can, and I'll get them to you. Thank you.
Okay.
Thank you.